in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. That he may open up and apply and speak through his word to each one of our hearts and soul. And I shall prayerful attention by way of text to the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is a wonderful epistle of Paul to Colossae, both spiritual and practical. The foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified, the knowledge of it, and then the living out of that truth within our hearts. Dear friends, if there is no foundation of the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, we shall not be able to walk out anything of our lives, no matter what we say or what we do, good though that it may be, to the honour and to the glory of God. There'll be no giving of thanks. There'll be giving of glory to self for what we do, yes. There'll be a satisfaction of self. There'll be a glorifying of ourselves. Like the Pharisee who gave thanks unto God, he was not as other men are. But there'll be no true thanksgiving to God for his mercy and for his deliverance from what we once were. Oh, Paul is writing these to these Colossians, and the amazing thing is, dear friends, it appears that he'd never met them. We don't read of the Apostle Paul going to Colossae. He's heard much about them. As he says in the epistle, he's heard from Epaphras, who was with him in his prison cell at this time in Rome. And Epaphras told Paul all about those who believed in Jesus in Colossae. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. It was a twofold work of grace within the hearts of these believers in Colossae. It was faith and love. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in the work of the grace of Christ Jesus, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin, as the Lamb of God on Calvary's cross, the holy, pure, just one, bearing the sins of many, even before they knew of him, or before we came to know anything of the love of Christ, our sins blotted out in his death at Calvary. pouring out his soul unto death. That's where the sins of all his people were imputed to. His soul. That our souls, all the souls of his people, the souls of these at Colossae, would be cleansed from all their sins, in that their iniquity was laid upon Christ, and he paid the price demanded for them under the law. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, they believe. The word of the truth, as it is in Jesus, had been applied to them. Not in man's words only, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And they now knew what it was to possess faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, this is the one thing needful, isn't it? No matter who we are, where we are, what we are, there is no other hope of deliverance from God's wrath to come for sin, unless we are given faith in Jesus Christ. And dear friends, the evidence of this faith was not just inwardness. It was not just held within their heart and soul and mind. It was made evident in the love which ye have to all the saints. That love which they'd received of Jesus Christ, who had given himself a sacrifice for their sin, that love was now manifest not only to him through faith, but in the practical walk in their lives. To love and do all things in love for the saints, for other believers, for those whom they could be as one with in faith in Jesus Christ. And yes, also to all others, as the scriptures instruct us to be. Oh dear friends, what a testimony. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all saints. Oh dear friends, may there be such a testimony amongst all of us here. Dear friends, that's what makes a strong church of Christ in the outward form in this wicked world. Faith in Christ Jesus and love to all the saints. And through that and the evidence, we can now claim a hope, he says, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Or the sacred promise of Jesus, who said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. That which is laid up for you in heaven, as Peter speaks to those likewise of Colossae, but of Galatia, Cappadocia, are the strangers in Christ Jesus, strangers to the things of this world, but pilgrims in the way of God. Oh, this place reserved in heaven for you, reserved in heaven. Dear friends, this is our hope, isn't it? Dear friends, we know not what will be with us day by day as we journey on in our earthly life. We say, you children have got many years before you. And as we get older, those days and those years, they decrease, which is before us. But no matter what our age, and we do not know when, well, there will come a time when we shall be no more upon this earth. Oh, the greatest thing to know and to be assured of, is there a place reserved for us in heaven? Faith in Christ Jesus the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, through whom we've come confessing our sins, falling before him. Dear friends, there has to be such a beginning, doesn't there? Before we can know the love of God who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, they shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Your faith in Christ Jesus, your hope of eternal life. And whilst we continue here in our days upon this earth, while breath is in our bodies, to walk in love to Christ and love to all the saints, bound together in the unity of him. Oh, dear friends, when faith is given, the exercise of it is not self-esteem. It's not raising ourselves above others. It's not condemning others that we are better than they. It's not finding fault with this one and that one in some perhaps minute way in an outward practical walk in which perhaps we can't agree with. And, dear friends, it's a humble walk. To walk in love and humility, to do good unto the brethren. Dear friends, as a sacrifice of our own selves. We have to put others first before that which is right for ourselves. Is that not the spirit of Christ? And if we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Oh, dear friends, these are solemn truths, but oh, how they should exercise our hearts and our minds, our conduct, day by day, hour by hour. And dear friends, as we seek to walk that way, oh, what great sinners we prove to be, don't we? You know, we know when those who are called by grace, those who have faith in Christ Jesus, it's then they know they are greater sinners than they've ever known before. Because the witness of the Spirit teaches us of our sins. And that which is of sin, we grieves us. It grieves the Spirit. Oh, it grieves. It goes against the love of Christ to us. We don't like to grieve those we love here upon this earth, do we? Of course we do. And dear friends, how it will grieve us to love him from heaven, who gave his only begotten Son, that we should live by him, through him, in him, by faith. What happened to these Colossians that they should come into such a state as this? Faith in Christ and love to the brethren. They weren't born like it, were they? When we read a bit further in that chapter 1, I know we didn't read it, in verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now hath he reconciled. Oh, you once were without God. You were once far off outside the commonwealth of Israel. Oh, children, growing up, you haven't got the nature in you to love God, have you? You love all the things which are good for your bodies and entertainment and activities. And we all have been like that. You're no exception. But we need God to rule and to reveal in us a greater love and a great affection that we can have within our hearts to Jesus, who saves us from our sins and will call us to be and dwell with him forever in heaven above. You were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Dear friends, this word if ye continue in the faith. You know, the Apostle Paul had a great concern to these at Colossae. He feared that though, although they had begun right and in a good way, all the temptations of the wicked world around them, the evil of their own hearts which was still within them by nature, the trials of their faith, the power of Satan, the evil one, who would cause them to depart, from his ways. Dear friends, it was a genuine fear with the Apostle Paul in his love for the churches, that which was begun would be continued in. You know, we read at the very end of this epistle of a man called Demas. Paul names him. Luke, the beloved physician, will greet you, and Demas greet you. And when we read in Paul's epistle to Timothy, Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. Dear friends, this present world will ever have an attraction to us. So let us have this warning: if ye continue in the faith, then are the precious promises of God. Oh, this if walking in the precious faith. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Yeah, friends, it's come to me recently, something perhaps I mentioned here many years ago. I did yesterday down at Grove. Oh, it came to me very solemnly, concerning Jesus' parable of the sower. Many heard the word, the preaching of the word of God, which was the good seed. Some of it fell on the pathway, didn't it, on the wayside, and never entered in. Oh, how solemn if we come to chapel and hear the preached gospel, and it never enters into our heart. Never enters into our heads. It just means nothing to us. Just rebounds like off that hard ground, and the fowls of the air come and took it away, and Satan, takes away any influence the word of God might have. But dear friends, we read of those where it did have an influence. It entered into some hearts, and there was a springing up of the effect of the word of God. But when troubles and difficulties and trials came, they abandoned it, because their heart was still heart of stone, a stony heart. There was no root, there was no depth to the truth that had been implanted to them. It had had, you might say, a natural effect upon their minds. And I use the occasion when I was young in the Sunday school at the Methodist Church. There was a boy about 14 or 15 years old. He was really a troublemaker. He didn't want to sing the hymns. He didn't want to read the Bible. He was caused to go there by his parents every Lord's Day afternoon. But I don't know how the circumstances were, but he went to a religious convention, a Christian convention, as we would say. It may have been the preaching of Billy Graham or some evangelist. It was something like that. And what he heard had an effect upon him. He came back a completely changed boy. He wanted to sing the hymns. He wanted to read the scriptures. And he wanted to listen to what was spoken. He started to attend chapel, the services. As he got older, in his late teens, he wanted to be a preacher. And as was as the custom in the Methodist Church, he was allocated to a minister who would help him and develop him in the ministry. He married the daughter of the organist. She became his wife. And they had children. And then she became unfaithful. Great trouble came into the family. They had to divorce. I don't know if he divorced her or she divorced him, but they were divorced. He then remarried. He left chapel altogether. Whether he read his word, the Bible, at home, I don't know. But some years later, I heard very solemnly when I was down this way that he'd taken his own life. The word had begun, but it had not continued. Oh, dear friends, how we need the word to enter into prepared hearts, don't we? Into good ground, where the word can take root downwards to bear fruit upwards. Oh, this is what we need to pray for, isn't it? Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. Zedekiah, with the hardness of his heart, couldn't accept it, could he? Dear friends, have we accepted the word of the Lord? Do we say, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit? Oh, how solemn. If we do not hear the word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and as we read in Acts chapter 2 verse 6, to receive, having therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord in all the power, in the power of the Holy Ghost, of the truth, the sacrifice for sin, so walk ye in him. So walk ye in him. Not just for a time. Oh, but for all of our days. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, that he has delivered for us from nature's darkness. It's his work, not our work. And he has all the glory, and to give him all the thanksgiving that he's not left us to be like the multitude who will be sentenced to that solemn eternity in hell's fire. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Oh, dear friends, that's vital, isn't it? Rooted. There's two analogies here, isn't there? The word entering into prepared hearts, where the stony heart has been taken away. It's been made soft. And the seeds of unrighteousness, which will grow up into weeds and thistles, which Jesus said is like the love of this world and the beauties of it, that is all subdued. They're dug over, prepared ground, that the seed which has been sown may grow to the glory of God. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And when that full corn comes, then there's the harvest, the gathering into the garner of God in heaven above. Oh, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, yes, for the Lord Jesus, that unspeakable gift, who gave his life a sacrifice for our sins. Rooted in him and built up in him. Well, somewhat is built up, it has to have a foundation, doesn't it? And the higher, dear friends, we hope to build our hopes of Christ on. The strong foundation has to be there. Like Jesus said of those who built their house upon the sand, which there was no foundation at all when the wind and the waves came and the sea came. And then, oh, as you know, at the seaside, you children, when you build a sandcastle or something of stones maybe, when the tide comes in, the sand, the foundation of it moves and it all falls down. So hope disappears. Great is the fall of it. Depart from me, ye cursed. But where there's the foundation of this faith in Jesus Christ, where there's the knowledge of his redeeming love, where it's burnt within our heart, where we can have no hope of eternal life but what on Christ has done, then we have this foundation, we have this rock. And as David said, he will establish my goings, the experiences of this life, founded upon what Christ has done. And there is our glory. There is our purpose, to do all that honours him to the glory of his name. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught. Who has taught you? Have you learnt it yourself from books? Oh, there's lots of good books. Lots of people who have given their experiences, and lots of people have expounded the scriptures. And lots of people, dear friends, have opened up the doctrines of truth. But, dear friends, we don't learn it ourselves in our heads from the books alone, do we? It's as we are taught by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Make to us, make to me, salvation known. Witness, what with the blood. Taught that shed blood of Christ within our hearts, without which there's no remission of our sins. Faith in his death. And oh, dear friends, to know it's like a light shining out of dark. Shining within our hearts to reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. Oh, you know, dear friends, in our walk in this life, it isn't easy, is it? We have tribulations, we have trials, we have difficulties, disappointments. Things don't open out before us as we would hope. Oh, we love to have a smooth way, things just occurring when we need them and when we want them and as we need them, in the way we need them. And we've got our own hearts and our minds on how things should work together. But our ways are not God's ways, are they? Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. But dear friends, whatever comes to us in our lives, let us remember that he that hath begun a good work in us, he will perform it. Our times are in his hand. And his hand is a gracious hand. And what he has promised, he will perform. I give unto my sheep eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. Yes, and so they've come into the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. And I give unto them eternal life. And no one shall pluck them out of my hand. There's our thanksgivings now. With thanksgiving. No matter what may come to disturb us and try us. Upset us. That what Christ hath done for our soul is still steadfast and sure. The foundation is there. Nothing can remove it. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that faith which hath been bestowed in you to believe in Jesus. There's your strength. There's your stay. There's your determination. Oh, to press on. As Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. That whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh, dear friends, what an exhortation. We need his help, don't we? We're still sinners in the flesh. We don't improve in our earthly lusts and pride and self-will. Our heart within us is always deceitful, desperately wicked. Our hearts become a battleground, don't they, between our own will and the will of God. Oh, the Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, the evil that I would not, that I do." This was after he was converted. "The good that I would do, that I do not." Oh, he always said, didn't he, and confessed he was the chief of sinners. He didn't point to anyone else. His heart within him by nature was sinful, evil. He said he had to keep himself under so much to be aware of what he was saying and what he was doing, lest it be not to the honour and glory of God. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus." He had to look back, didn't he, with thanksgiving to what the Lord had done, called him by grace. "My grace," the Lord had said to him, "is sufficient for thee. Let all your sins, all that cleansed in the blood of Christ. But shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid," says Paul. God forbid. "No, in whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And he lists these specific ones, doesn't he? In verse 3. Chapter 3, sorry. He speaks about putting things off. If Mike and I can just drop on it now. "But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Dear friends, he'd been speaking about putting things off before that, hasn't he? "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry." Dear friends, immorality. Oh, our lusts of our flesh. Dear friends, our nature. Now they're given over to such things where we can act inordinately, inordinate affection. Fornication outside the marriage bond. And dear friends, we're living in days when there is inordinate affection. A man with man and woman with woman. Dear friends, how these philosophies and traditions and customs, all they seem to be rising and increasing. Mortify them in your bodies. Oh, do not have anything to do with them. Cast them aside. And you say, "Well, I do. What about covetousness?" That's hard to cast aside, isn't it? Wanting those things which our own will desires. And we can't put it away very easily. Oh, dear friends, we're to covet earnestly the best gift. Not the things of this earth, we're to ask them of God, yes. That he will give us what he would desire and permit us to have. And in whatever we possess in this world, oh, we're to thank God for them. It's his, what do I say, providential mercies. And we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? In our day and age, far more than our forebears. But that's based on what Christ says. "If ye be risen in Christ, seek the things that are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. They're vain. They will cease. They will one day come to an end. We have to have dealings with them. Yes, of course we do. But we have to hold them very loosely. We have to hold tight to the love of Christ in the power of the Spirit revealed within us. That He is first, He is foremost. That Christ may be all and in all, as we've read. That whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And therefore put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That which can cause a disturbance, and it doesn't endeavour to bring peace, does it? And prosperity. Oh, we read in places where Jesus was angry, yes. A righteous anger because of the effect of evil, of Satan. But what about our anger? We anger with others when they do not do things which we might want them to do. Children angry with parents at instructions they don't want to obey. Oh, dear friends, anger dwells within us so much, doesn't it? Anger dwelleth in the bosom of fools, says the Scriptures. And there's no fools that enter into heaven. Oh, how we have to pray, don't we, for the Lord's good Spirit to rule our hearts, govern our words and our ways, that His grace may abound in every part, and teach our tongues to sing His praise. Put all those things off. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Oh, Christ, dear friends, was made like unto His brethren. In the image, we might say, of mankind created by Him. That we may be created through Him into the image of Himself. A pure, holy, one without sin, through love. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, made like Christ. Dear friends, there's no greater glory than that, is there? There's no Greek, Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision. There's no earthly aspect which we can define ourselves. We can't say, I'm a strict Baptist, therefore I shall go to heaven. I'm a Roman Catholic, therefore I shall go to heaven, or whatever denomination it is. No, it's those who are one with Christ Jesus, in whom the truth of that power to pardon sins has been revealed in us by the Spirit. And then we're to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, dear friends, there's no peace, but the knowledge of what Christ hath done for us is there. A peace that passeth understanding. As Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, in this world, oh, be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing, but in everything. Oh, we have to ask for things, don't we? Of course we do. In everything, in prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, that we can lay all our matters before the Lord, all our troubles, difficulties, oh, things which rise against us. In everything, give thanks. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Therefore, dear friends, what an important exhortation this is for us this morning and for every day of our lives. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen.